Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's Friday here on the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carr. We've got Brian Batko, and we're getting you ready for Steelers versus Rams. Lots of talking points, including the two top rookies who were a big part of the Steelers win over the Ravens. Will both of them start? Will none of them, neither of them start? Broderick Jones and Joey Porter Jr. We talk about that. We answer a question for you on the Accurature Fan Advantage. And the big matchup here also, can TJ Watt or Aaron Donald be the defensive player that wrecks this game the most? All that and more here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's get into it.
You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter.
Hello, welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Brian Batko. We're both from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Find all our written content at post-gazette.com. Find all of our podcast content on your favorite podcasting app, whether it's Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever, or on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all of our daily content that comes out from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and especially the Monday, Wednesday, Friday episodes of the North Shore Drive podcast and the Saturday episode of the Accurature Fan Advantage, where we talk to an opponent expert each week. Today's episode is brought to you, as always, by Mike's Beer Bar, where I'm at right now here leading into the weekend. Mike's Beer Bar is the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Why? Because they have over 20 televisions that you can book out and say, hey, you want a game? I watched Pitt volleyball here this week. They'll get it on the tube for you here. Whatever your choice of game it is, soccer, football, basketball, hockey, baseball, it's the best time in sports, baby. So get in on the action at Mike's. And also, you have over 500 different available beers here, 300 of those beers being local beers and 80 of those local beers being available on tap. So many different things to get here while you're at Mike's. More on them later. Brian, the big topic all week. After the bye, Steelers saw good play from Broderick Jones, I thought, on the offensive line. Game-changing interception from Joey Porter Jr. So naturally, they'd both be starting in this upcoming game, but there's no indication that they actually are. And this could be a smokescreen. This could be nothing. But it also could be both the Steelers putting their veterans back in at the starting roles here. And Joey Porter Jr. didn't start against the Ravens. He just played most of the second half. What's your outtake? What's your insight on how both of the top rookies are looking like they're going to get time in this upcoming game, if they are?
My first insight is this is what, our sixth North Shore Drive episode since the last time the Steelers played a game. We just need some real football to talk about again. I think the bye week, it was nice to sit back and refresh a little bit, but yeah, we need something to talk about. Sunday can't get here soon enough, but you're right. This topic is a developing story, I would say, with the Steelers team. I mean, it's impactful for the present. It's impactful for the future when you consider it's the top two picks from their most recent draft here. And, you know, we'll start with Broderick Jones, Dan Moore. I mean, I'm surprised that the Steelers didn't just use this as an opportunity to say, hey, Dan, you know, we know that it's not necessarily fair to lose your spot due to injury, but I mean, what's a favorite Mike Tomlin saying? He doesn't treat everybody equally. He treats everybody fairly. So, that's going to be a dynamic that you just have to work through. He knew the writing was on the wall when they used a first round pick on a guy at his position and traded up to get him. You know, credit Moore for playing well in camp in the preseason to hold him off. But once Broderick Jones got in there, I didn't see any reason to pull him back out. Maybe they think he still does need some more seasoning. Maybe they think Dan Moore hasn't been that bad to this point in the season. But I'm surprised that it's looking like Moore is going to start again week seven in L.A., despite Broderick Jones doing really everything that was asked of him in a tough spot against the Ravens.
Even if he doesn't play against the Ravens, I felt like this was the spot to try it anyways. Like
it's the bye week.
Exactly. You got the bye week. The Rams, yes, everyone's going to think about Aaron Donald, but the Rams aren't the same Rams defense that won the Super Bowl years ago. They don't have the edge rushers anymore that they used to have, like Leonard Floyd and guys like that. And this would be a run. Yes, the Jaguars have a couple edge rushers you'd be a little concerned about, but the Titans are coming after them, the Packers after that. That would be a run of four games where I think you could get a real test of Broderick Jones without the gauntlet of Nick Bosa, Myles Garrett, Max Crosby that you were going up against in the early weeks. And in fact, his first test was Jadeveon Clowney, and he passed it. And I just think that there's got to be either this is a smokescreen by Mike Tomlin and the Steelers. They're just giving Dan a chance to kind of like look to see what he's got. Mike Tomlin did say it's a big if to say that Dan Moore Jr. would be good to go for this week. But Dan Moore Jr. looked, you know, I think he was a full participant on Wednesday. So that big if seems to be very small right now. Brent, would this be a legitimate mistake to take away Broderick Jones from this situation? They traded up to get this guy at the 14th overall pick.
I'm not going to go that far because, I mean, I think number one, it is one, you know, it's one more game. We don't know what the long-term plan here is. Maybe it's going to be as simple as, hey, first time Dan Moore gets beat or gives up a sack, you know, pull him out of there and put Jones in. I don't think you want to get into that kind of musical chairs type situation, but I will, you know, to play devil's advocate, just because Dan Moore looks like he's going to start this week doesn't mean they're committing to that for weeks upon weeks, you know, or even, you know, more than one drive in this game. They still very much have the right to make a change there. And, you know, I think Moore's a respected guy in that locker room. I think professionals understand when you invest a first round pick in somebody, they're going to play sooner than later, probably. But that doesn't mean that guys don't appreciate Moore and his work ethic and what he's done to this point. So I don't know that it's going to be a case of, hey, players are unhappy that they're taking Broderick Jones out of there. And Jones himself, you know, I think he's trying to walk that fine line of doesn't matter how old you are, if you're talented, if you're physically gifted, you can go out there and help a team right now. He even said that last week before the bye. He was referring more to Joey Porter Jr., but obviously that applies to himself as well. I think he also understands that, yeah, you know, he's got stuff to work on. He admitted he came out of Georgia fairly raw after one full season as a starter. So, you know, I don't think it's this huge mistake. I'm not going to make a big deal about it. But if it were me, I would start Broderick Jones. I just think it's time. The other point that I'll make is while this was your bye week and you and I and a lot of other people thought it'd be the logical opportunity to make that transition, you're going to have some mini buys coming up soon after some Thursday games. There's bonus practices. There's extra work days there if you want to get Broderick Jones established as your starter.
Yeah, very true. Quick thoughts here on Joey Porter Jr. Ray and I talked about this, and I wanted to get your perspective here, but the releasing of Desmond King, letting him go and him not being on the roster anymore, does that signify to you that Patrick Peterson is probably going to move more into the slot so that Joey Porter can be on the outside? Or do you think that Joey Porter Jr. is going to be back to maybe lucky to play 20 snaps in this game with the way that they'll deploy their secondary?
No, I have the same thought as you guys. I think that, you know, on its face, getting rid of King doesn't really mean anything. He wasn't playing.
Right.
His one snap will go in the books as a touchdown allowed with him on the field against the Ravens. So that's kind of like it's kind of like the opposite of a perfect game there. But yeah, I mean, that could be part of it. That could be a trickle down effect there. You know, you brought him in to add to your slot corner mix on cut down day and slash as a return man, I guess, but neither one of those really came to fruition. And now you could be at a point personnel wise where you feel like, yeah, we're going to use Joey Porter Jr. more on the outside rather than bench Patrick Peterson. There's a chance for him to play in the slot. Now, this game specifically is a little bit interesting to me. I think the Rams are a team where as much as they present a lot of challenges with their passing game and specifically their wide receivers, Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua aren't necessarily the type of guys that I think you really drafted Joey Porter Jr. to defend, if that makes sense. I think they're more route running technicians.
Yeah.
Who, you know, yeah, you got to get hands on them, but they're not really the type of dudes winning jump balls a ton. I think Porter's, you know, somebody who's going to help you against the Jamar Chases and T. Higgins of the world. You know, we saw Devontae Adams in the Raiders game, and obviously what he did against Odell in a kind of vertical situation in the end zone there. But still, there's got to be a time where you throw him into the deep end and let him roll. So maybe he doesn't start in this game, but I think he does play more. And Patrick Peterson himself even said on Wednesday that, yeah, he thinks there's probably going to be more snaps coming for Joey, and they'll see how that plays out for the rest of them in that cornerback room. But, you know, this is a team in the Rams that they're going to scheme guys open. So that could be a trickier spot than we've seen to this point for the rookie.
Could be a lot of things that it could be tricky for the Steelers pass defense that hasn't been too great so far outside of the fact that they can get after the quarterback. We'll talk about getting after the quarterback in a bit here, but first we got a question that we want to address from the Akershire Fan Advantage on the other side of this first break here on the North Shore Drive Podcast. He's Brian Batko. I'm Chris Carter. But first, before we do any of that, I want to remind you this show is brought to you by the place I'm sitting in right now. If you're watching on YouTube, it's Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. It's on the North Shore. Go right to Federal Street, across the street from PNC Park. You can get to Mike's Beer Bar and the North Shore Tavern, both owned by the same place, give you amazing options. You come into Mike's Beer Bar, you're going to have over 500 different beers that you can try. 300 of those beers are from local Western PA breweries, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap at all times. And they're rotating ones in and out every single week so that there's never a dull day of selections. You can never get bored of looking at all the different types of beers, whether you're a stout guy, an IPA person, you know, a pale ale person, a light beer, a Hefeweizen, whatever you like here. They've got so many different versions of each type of beer, sour beers, plenty of pumpkin beers for the fall. All that can be had here at right here at Mike's Beer Bar, the best beer collection in all of Pittsburgh and the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. And you can also get amazing food options here, like their steak on a stone meal, where you get your choice cut of steak brought to you on a heated stone, where every piece that you cut off, you just press into the stone and you choose how well you want done every single bite of steak. It's such an amazing experience. Come and experience that here at Mike's Beer Bar on the North Shore of Pittsburgh. And when you get here, tell them Chris sent you. We're also brought to you by the Great Yinzer Tailgate. The Great Yinzer Tailgate is an activity that's going to bring the best of Pittsburgh to South Point on November 4th, showcasing Pittsburgh's rich culture, iconic sports history, and vibrant community spirit. The Great Yinzer Tailgate will immerse you in the unique blend of traditions that make Pittsburgh legendary. Visit www.thegreatyinzertailgate.com for details. See Yinz there.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
We're back here on the North Shore Drive Podcast. It's from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. It's Chris Carter. It's Brian Batko. We now switch to the Akershire Fan Advantage, where all season long, Brian Batko, our Steelers insider, answers your questions along with myself here on the show. The Fan Advantage brings you closer to the team than ever before with those exclusive answers, and we talk to an opponent expert every single week. Tune in every Friday for this show, where we answer your burning question from the Akershire Fan Advantage. You can visit akershire.com/fanadvantage for more information to submit your questions today. Brian, let's get to this week's question you got from Miles M. Is that Miles Morales, the young Spider-Man there that you're talking to? I don't know.
Think so, but this was left over from my chat, so Maybe it's a an alias.
But Miles M says, "Hey, Bats, thanks for the chats. Let's grab a beer this weekend in LA. Shout out
to Miles. Ryan. If you're listening, listening to this, you want to grab me a beer, you know how to find me.
There you go. Absolutely. But he asks, do you think the Steelers make sweeping coaching staff changes at the year's end? Pat Meyer, Frisman Jackson, not getting it done. Thoughts, Brian? That's a big statement to say all sweeping changes. What's your opinion on that?
Well, he's talking about O-line coach Pat Meyer and wide receivers coach Frisman Jackson. I mean, I'll start with those two guys individually. With Meyer, I think Yeah, you could make a reasonable case. And there's also another reader who emails me periodically to say, why did Pat Meyer get this job? His NFL resume is not good. Go back and look at why he was let go in Carolina, essentially. I mean, that emailer has some good points. I mean, Meyer, he's been around the NFL. He's not a lifetime college guy who was brought in to do this job like Matt Canada was as the OC. But, you know, I can see both sides of that. Meyer, you could argue, hasn't had a ton to work with. But then you look at this week, the Rams right guard who's going to be out there on Sunday when they line up at SoFi Stadium is Kevin Dotson. And, I mean, he's playing much better in LA than he was here last season. It's obviously there's some different schemes there and stuff, but yeah, I mean, Kendrick Green, how much of that is on the player? How much of that is on the development? Adrian Clem was the O-line coach here when he was drafted, but obviously Pat Meyer didn't wring much out of him either. You know, I think getting Dan Moore through a couple, you know, a season as a starter again last year is helpful. I like the early returns from Broderick Jones. So kind of a mixed bag with Meyer's job performance, I would say. And I think we all know he has a say in the run game. You know, he doesn't have a run game coordinator title, but that's generally the case with any offensive line coach, including here in Pittsburgh. And it's not like the run game has been super efficient either. So yeah, I could go either way on him. Frisman Jackson, the receivers coach, like, say what you will about this group's lack of separation and stuff last year, but I can't really poke too many holes in the 2023 Steelers receivers. I mean, George Pickens is a much more well-rounded player than he was as a rookie. That was probably the biggest challenge for Frisman Jackson this offseason, get more out of your freakish second-year guy. Calvin Austin, I'm seeing some good things out of him, even though he missed all of his rookie season with an injury. So I don't really have a huge problem with the job Frisman Jackson's done. I will say, though, to go back to the whole sweeping changes idea, look, if you're getting rid of your offensive coordinator after this season, which unless something changes, we both think that's going to be the case.
Yeah, absolutely.
That new person's going to bring in their own assistants, generally right. speaking.
Usually.
Occasionally, you know, maybe somebody is tight with the head coach, or, you know, they maybe have a pre-existing relationship with the new OC that's hired or whatever. And yeah, you work out a deal, you stay on, whatever. But generally, I would say that if Matt Canada is replaced by somebody here, that replacement is, you know, he's going to go find his own line coach that he meshes with philosophically. He's probably going to get his own running backs and receivers coach. So just by extension, I think there would probably be sweeping offensive changes.
I think that certainly could be the case, but I'm with you on Frisman Jackson, especially. I don't think he's done a bad job. I think he's helped with the development of George Pickens. Pickens is a better receiver this year than he was last year. Calvin Austin, you know, is much further along than I thought he'd be after missing all of last season with his ability to make plays right now. He's running sharp routes. That's the other thing. I really like Calvin Austin when I look at the All 22 and I'm like, hey, that guy over there, you know, he's not getting targeted all the time. He's doing some serious work. Pat Meyer, I feel you on, you know, take it or leave it. But the offensive line did, as a group, improve throughout last season. Granted, that did not carry over to this season, and that is part of the criticism there. But if they improve again at the end of the season with a rookie, if Broderick Jones gets back in more and he steadily improves, I wonder if there'd be a case to keep Pat Meyer around, if to say, like, hey, you know what? They've got something going. They've got Isaac Seumalo back, Broderick Jones back now. Maybe they can go invest in a better center than Mason Cole. Maybe they make some other moves there. I could see that being closer to a flip of a coin than the Canada situation. But like you said, if the Steelers bring in an offensive coordinator and it's a big name offensive coordinator, and that's a big if they do that, then I can see the sweeping changes happening. But if they bring in another guy, you know, like a lot of people are saying they're going to promote from within again, you know, maybe they do that. I don't think they would. But I think that they're in a position to at least look at this seriously. Now they have Kenny Pickett. They'll have a serious look at who Kenny Pickett is. And if they want to invest in a whole new offensive staff that will try to make that offense work with Kenny Pickett at the helm.
Yeah. And Frisman Jackson, I mean, he was brought in by Canada. They'd worked together previously in the college ranks, I believe. So that's kind of, you know, how it goes down with NFL coaching staffs usually. And, you know, to a certain extent, you can say nobody's doing a good job on this staff right now because the offense is so putrid. But yeah, I mean, you got to drill down a little bit at times, get more specific. So yeah, that would be a couple points that I would make on Miles's question. Thank you, Miles. And again, yeah, if you're listening to this, you can always email me or hit me up on Twitter, and yeah, maybe we can link up in LA. It's a pretty small city, right? Maybe we'll just run into each other.
Yes, so small you can just bump into anybody.
Yeah, just look for me walking down Rodeo Drive.
Absolutely. We'll get more into this matchup and what we think are the biggest parts of this matchup, as well as our predictions here on the North Shore Drive podcast. But first, we want to remind you, this was brought to you by the AccraSure Fan Advantage. The AccraSure Fan Advantage brings you closer to the Steelers than ever before, with exclusive answers to your burning questions, like Miles here, who asked Brian not just for a question, but for also getting a beer with him in LA. Tune in every Friday and the day before each Steelers game this season to get the advantage. Visit AccraSure.com/FanAdvantage for more information and to submit your questions today. We're also brought to you by Savinas Kane and Gallucci. Savinas Kane and Gallucci, they're mesothelioma and asbestos lawyers with over 85 years of experience. Call them now for a free consultation. That's Savinas Kane and Gallucci. We're also brought to you by GameTime.co, where buying tickets for your favorite event shouldn't be stressful. GameTime is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all your sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. If you're ever looking for a ticket and you're running up against the clock and you're running late to the event, well, this is where Game Time really comes into play. Not only can you see your ticket and what the view is from your seat on the Game Time app that you can download right to your phone, you can see the actual price for that ticket. You're not seeing all the hidden, you're going to see all the hidden fees. There are no hidden fees. They make sure that they're up front so that you know what you're paying for when you tap on it. And it's just two clicks of a button, and those tickets are yours, even up to an hour after your event has started if you're running late. That's why Game Time's awesome. Even if you're running late, they're going to find you killer deals to get amazing, amazing seats and amazing prices on those seats. And they have a best price guarantee that can't be beat. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less somewhere else, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account by using code PITTPIT for $20 off your first purchase, or go to their website, GameTime.co. Terms and conditions apply. Create an account and redeem code PITTPIT for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. We're back here in the North Shore Drive podcast. He's Brian Batko. I'm Chris Carter. We're both of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And Brian, I know these two guys won't be lining up against each other, but I feel like they're going to be in a race to see who can wreck the opponent's offense faster. And that's, of course, two guys that in the last 6 years have accounted for four of the Defensive Player of the Year awards. That's Aaron Donald and TJ Watt. Granted, Aaron Donald accounted for three of those, and TJ Watt's accounted for one. But either way, these are two extremely impressive defenders. And they're also up against offensive lines that haven't performed great. The Rams have been giving up a lot of pressure to Matthew Stafford, who's in an older stage of his career. He's not as mobile as he used to be. The Steelers' offensive line, we've talked about their struggles and how they haven't been consistent this year. What's your look at how this game could shake out for both of these guys being potential game wreckers, and who might be the one that wrecks the game first for the other team?
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, you'd probably say TJ Watt against the Rams right tackle Rob Havenstein or Havenstein or something.
I think so.
Yeah, so I mean, he's been around, but he's just a guy. So you feel good about that matchup. But then you flip to Aaron Donald matching up with Mason Cole potentially right off the snap.
Yeah, I mean, that's a problem.
That could be a problem. And obviously, you know, hey, talk to Trey Essex on the PG Sports Now show Tuesday. And he's like, well, you got to bring a guard with you pretty much every time you deal with Aaron Donald in the middle there. But that presents other schematic challenges. So, I mean, fortunately, the other players in the Rams front four, you know, there's some promise there. But, you know, Byron Young, rookie out of Tennessee, who's more of an edge guy. I mean, he doesn't scare you a ton. You would hope that a veteran Steelers offensive line will have some answers for him. But you know, it's a Rams defense that does, I think, still kind of revolve around Donald in a big way. And the Steelers are emphasizing this week in practice, containing mm-hmm. him, minimizing him, even though you're never going to take him completely out of the game. And as much as I feel like the Steelers might have the edge in terms of Watt versus Donald, if you want to make it about that. And you're right, Chris, you put those two families together, seven Defensive Player of the Year awards.
That's even crazier. Yeah, you throw in JJ, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, too bad Aaron's older brother, Archie Donald, you know, did not have a Hall of Fame NFL career.
Hey, Elliot Donald could be on the way for Pitt, man. You never know.
That's right. That's his nephew, correct?
Yes, his nephew.
Yeah. What year is he? Sophomore, junior now?
He's a redshirt sophomore, I believe. But okay. he's coming. He's working his way up the depth chart.
Yeah, so he's kind of like JJ Watt's kid, I guess at this point, who's like 6 months old or something, but in the comparison. But no, what I was going to say is, you know, as much as I feel like, you know, Watt can and, you know, often does screw up game plans for other teams, the Niners and Texans found ways to kind of keep him off balance. I mean, he ended up with 3 sacks against San Francisco, but by that point, the hay was in the barn. Yeah. And against the Texans, you know, he flashed at times early in that second half, but obviously too little too late. Now you get a Sean McVay offense who he comes from the Shanahan tree as well. So he's going to have a lot of those same bells and whistles. He's going to have the eye candy, as Patrick Peterson called it after the Texans game, all that shifts and in motions. And what's the new one? The cheat motion that everybody's doing in the NFL, or at least the smart teams offensively, or the creative ones. So, I mean, that's what gives me a little bit of pause, is that, you know, when you get down to matching wits in terms of the offensive play callers in this game, the schemes and the systems, you've got one side that's proven NFL prolific offenses with creativity and being a step ahead of defenses. And then you've got Matt Canada, who we don't really need to talk any more about him on what, again, our sixth North Shore Drive podcast episode since the Steelers played a football game. Man, we're leaking oil at this point.
Technically, isn't it our seventh? Because you did the Acrisure Fan Advantage.
Oh, yeah. We had the mailbag episode too.
That's like we did an episode every single day, including a Saturday and Sunday after the game, without any extra football to talk about.
Yeah, it's like being back in training camp again, where you're just you're talking about same storylines over and over. But hey, we got to feed the beast during the season. So at least soon we can get to a prediction for this game, and then we'll find out how it plays out on Sunday.
But I want to get to this point, but right before we do our pick here, I agree with you that we've seen teams, you know, not the Texans did neutralize TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith. The Niners didn't neutralize him, but they were winning enough in other places that it didn't matter in the end. But Sean McVay is going to try to find creative ways to do that. I just think the Steelers, one thing they have on their side in this situation, when you're talking about offensive line versus offensive line, the Steelers defensive front, I think, has more able weapons that can also wreck games. Alex Highsmith being there, I think Larry Ogunjobi being healthy will be a big boost to this team. I think Keanu Benton and DeMarvin Leal could each be good help there. And I also think the Steelers linebackers are starting to play a little bit better. If they can take steps forward, I think that helps there.
Unfortunately, though, you think back to Houston, and the Texans were starting like 5 guys making 6 figures on their offensive line in that game, and one guy who had never seen an NFL regular season snap before, and look what happened.
No, I agree with that. But I also think that was a game where the linebackers and interiors, defensive linemen underperformed. Like, they were in very winnable spots. Like, we talked about Landon Roberts one-on-one with C.J. Stroud in space, and he whiffed.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, and guys in those situations there. But I think that when you go to the flip side, the Rams have more defensive line questions and defensive front questions around Aaron Donald than the Steelers do around their edge rushers. And I think that could work in the Steelers' favor, but either way, I think it comes down to what you're saying too: offensive game plans and executions. A veteran quarterback in Matt Stafford, who will know that the Steelers are coming, he'll get the ball out quick. He'll know how to work game plans, and he has maybe the most reliable receiving, one of the more reliable receiving corps in the NFL with Kupp, Nacua, Puka Nacua, and Tutu Atwell. So let's get into our predictions here, Brian. Give us how you think this game's going to play out, and your final score. Who gets the dub?
Yeah, I mean, 3 of those guys that you just mentioned: Stafford, Nacua, Kupp. They make me feel like the Rams are going to pull this one out, even though, you know, these are 2 teams health-wise going in different directions. Steelers coming off the bye. They're really getting just about everybody back except for Cam Hayward at this point, while the Rams, you know, they're down their top 2 running backs and Kyron Williams and Ronnie Rivers. So, you know, he's going to be handing off to who knows who. But, you know, that's probably not going to stop them from devising a game plan that gives the Steelers secondary fits. And we know they've had some issues at times already this season, slowing down receivers. You know that better than anybody, Chris, with your wonky stats and obscure references. My
obscure stats, baby.
Yes. But yeah, go ahead. Were you going to defend yourself there.
I'm just making fun of the moment where I asked Mike Tomlin about the Steelers. They've given up the eighth most receiving yards to wide receivers in the NFL. I think that's a pretty relevant stat. He kind of dismissed it, and I only asked that, even brought up that stat to say, what does the secondary have to do to improve? Which I think is a very standard question, but I think he disagreed with my usage of it and its relevance of allowing to wide receiver. But this is one of the better receiving cores you're going to face this year. You haven't faced even the Bengals yet with their receiving core. I just think it's going to be a big question with the corners, the safeties, how they're deployed in this game, how they try to limit these guys this game. And I get Mike Tomlin's point that, yeah, you know what, like, you give up, who cares if you give up 172 yards to Devontae Adams if you get the dub and you're creating lots of turnovers against the Raiders, but you're not going to do that every week. And Matt Stafford, I think, is going to make it a lot harder on you to do that this week.
If Mike wasn't so grumpy all the time on Tuesdays, he could have been like, yeah, but Chris, go look at what we've allowed to tight ends and running backs and get back to me. Yeah, so, like, yeah, I mean, all of that saying, I'm going to go Rams 23, Steelers 19. I just can't, like, this Steelers team and how inconsistent they are and all the warts they have, I just, like, can't see them getting two games above 500. So, you know, when they start to show you something and get to 3-2, I'm like, hold on, rein it in. They got to go to the West Coast. They got to face a pretty dynamic offense. I'm going to say they drop this one on the road. Mike Tomlin's record on the West Coast, in the Pacific time zone, I should say, not very good over the course of his career as a coach. Nope. For whatever reason. Might be fluky. It's just human nature that it's difficult to play, you know, after a long travel weekend. But Steelers have not done well in that regard since 07.
No, I agree. It's been a struggling point for them. I am also picking the Rams here for similar reasons. I just think that Matt Stafford is a smart quarterback. He's a veteran quarterback. He's seen this defense before. He's lost to it before. I don't think he's ever beaten the Steelers before. But
no, I don't think so.
Even though he hasn't, he's been a guy who has, I mean, he won a Super Bowl. He's made big plays. I think that he's a guy who's going to make smart decisions, get the ball out of his hands. You're not going to see him throw three interceptions like Jimmy Garoppolo did with the Raiders. And I think I'm saying 24-20, and I think that comes with a late drive touchdown pass from him to Cooper Kupp. And I think that kind of exposes the Steelers secondary for the problems that it has right now. I still think Mike Tomlin, who says that Minkah Fitzpatrick is going to make plays wherever he's lined up, I think that they're still hurting themselves by moving him all over the field, not letting him just be that pure center fielding free safety. And I think this secondary needs to get into some actual roles that will benefit all of its players. And Joey Porter Jr. needs to be starting on the outside, while Patrick Peterson helps more on the inside. He can be an extra safety if you want, whatever you call it. He's got to move inside so that Joey Porter can play outside. Levi Wallace can be out there. And they also try to free up Minkah to be a bigger playmaker.
I just feel like McVay and Stafford are going to find the mismatch kind of no matter what you do in that regard. So
I agree. He has 23-19. We got a 23-19 for our Monster Inc. fans out there. Anyone loves my Disney references. But anyways, 23-19 for Brian, 24-20 for me, Chris, here, saying the Rams are going to beat the Steelers. But will we be wrong? We've been wrong before on this show. We'll find out if we are here on Sunday. Brian will be in L.A. covering on the Steelers. And, of course, we'll have our team getting you ready all leading up to the game. Get all of our written content at post-gazette.com. Get all of our podcast and video content from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette at Post-Gazette Sports on your favorite podcasting app or on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoyed. Subscribe to this channel to get all of our daily content and comes out here. Check us out again tomorrow as we have an opponent expert on the Rams breaking down this matchup. What are the Rams looking for? What are they talking about with the Steelers? For a further in-depth look on the Rams, the Steelers matchup before the game on Sunday, we'll see you here right on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For 3 months of digital access to post-gazette.com at 99 cents, click the link below in the description.